I want to explain, again, as I did yesterday briefly, what is the purpose of a convention? There's a reason why there is a word convention and another word coronation. The purpose of a convention, what's the purpose of the Republican Party? Now, ladies and gentlemen, the way it works at a convention, or is supposed to work, is during the primary season in your various states, your state party set the rules. It's like federalism under the Constitution, if you will. The Republican National Committee has certain boundaries, that's understandable, but it can't take over the whole process because then you're cut out. And we've talked about the primaries, we went through all the debates, we went through the primary process, and the point is to win the state delegates. Some states have winner-take-all, some states have winner-take-some, some states have caucuses, some states have a mixture of both. We want that sort of diversity that is unique to a particular state and so forth. And then the states send their delegates to the convention. Okay? And then the delegates at the convention select the nominee. Some delegates run as committed, depending on the state rules, to a particular candidate and have to stick with that candidate at least in the first, second, or third voting round. Some delegates can run committed to a candidate and change their mind when they get there, and so forth and so on. So when you have a strong-arm tactic, an iron-fisted attempt by the RNC to change all of that, to front-load the state votes with the winner-take-all states, why are they doing that? Why is Romney's lawyer pushing for that? Why did John Boehner refuse to entertain any minority views today and ruled that the majority report was unanimous when, in fact, half of the delegates opposed it? I'll tell you what I'm concerned about. And I hope I'm wrong. I am concerned that if Mitt Romney wins and he appoints his administration and so forth, you're going to see things happen on the immigration front that are going to upset you. You're going to see Obamacare hopefully repealed, but it may be replaced with things you don't like, given that Romney's not out touting, now out touting RomneyCare. Things may happen that you love, but things may happen that upset you. People may want to challenge an incumbent president, and they're not going to be able to effectively do so. That's just my speculation. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin, the funder on the right. Call in now, 877-381-3811.
You know, every time I turn on the TV, I see Jeb Bush. I think Jeb Bush should have his own show on cable at this point. Why not? Put Karl Rove on there, too. They're on all the time. I have a dear friend, and I mean that man I've known, good Lord, 30 years or so, more than 30 years. He's an iconic conservative, grassroots conservative. He served Ronald Reagan as assistant to the president in the White House. He was the youngest delegate in the 1964 Republican convention declared for Barry Goldwater, longtime Reaganite. My friend Morton Blackwell, how are you, Morton?
Mark, I'm doing great. Talking to you from the just off the floor of the Republican National Convention in Tampa.
Well, I want to ask you a question because you're one of the folks, one of the grassroots folks. You run a group called the Leadership Institute, which is involved in grassroots activity for college students and so forth. What happened today with this rule, and why are these rules so important?
Well, there was unfortunately a move in the convention rules committee to make changes which in several significant ways centralized power in the Republican Party. And they had the votes to do it. And it's quite unfortunate. I've been working on matters related to the national rules of the party for many years. I've been to all of the convention rules committee meetings starting in 1972. That's a long time. And one of the great benefits of the rules of the Republican Party was that we've had an historic tradition that you may not change the rules between conventions. And so there's stability of the rules and everybody plays by the same rules. Well, they got through today a change in the rules which allows the Republican National Committee by a supermajority vote to change the rules of the Republican Party. It's probably the worst change in the rules that I've seen in 40 years. And that is because the Republican National Committee should not be the repository of that power. It should just be the national conventions. The reality is that the chairman of the Republican National Committee has enormous power over the members. He has the power of the purse with respect to candidates and donations to state parties. And if he wants to change the rules now in almost any circumstances, he's going to be able to change the rules. And that is not good. But there was a whole series of these changes of the rules to centralize the party, and not a single one of these changes will in any way affect the ability of the Republican Party to elect Mitt Romney and defeat Barack Obama. It is a very unfortunate thing. There was a strong conservative minority. If you were watching the convention when the Rules Committee report was presented, it was voted on by a voice vote, and the people in opposition really were yelling louder than those who favored the adoption of the rules. And I'm sorry that this is the case, but that's the reality.
All right, couple of things. So what's happened here is the power of the RNC chairman and the RNC generally can be strengthened at the cost of the state parties. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's true. And in fact, there was a proposal that was at the last minute removed. I mean, literally in the last minute of the meeting of the Rules Committee, the last meeting of the Rules Committee today, they had proposed and gotten passed a rule which would allow presidential candidates, as it was stated, to disavow and remove delegates who had been duly elected under the rules of state parties or the state law. That was one bridge too far. And there was so much resistance to it. We had sufficient numbers of the committee in the minority report that would have forced a public discussion and a vote on the floor of the convention on that. And so that was withdrawn and the onerous parts of that taken away.
Now, the rule that's left where the RNC has the power between elections to make changes that will further centralize the power, really, of the RNC bureaucracy and against the states, meaning the state legislatures, the people who vote for delegates, the people who run for delegates, the party system in the states. I try to remind people and have that the whole point of the convention is for the states through the delegate process, that is the people, to decide on the nominee. Not people who are installed at the RNC to decide on the nominee. Correct, Morton?
Right. The principle that I've always worked on, and I have been a member of the National Committee myself since 1988. I'm in my seventh four-year term as the Republican National Committee man of Virginia. The principle that I've worked on, and I think conservatives in general should work on within a party, is that to the extent possible, you should have power flow from the bottom up rather than from the top down, Mark.
as in the Constitution when you're governing generally.
That's exactly right. And now, what's happening in the party has some similarity to what we're fighting in government, a stability of the rules, a freedom to operate within the rules without worrying that the rules are going to be changed to your detriment.
A couple of points. When the vote came up, Boehner was in charge, and as I watched, you said there were as many, if not more, people objecting to adopting the majority rules. And he called it unanimous. He said, hearing no objections, the report is adopted. He saw that there were objections, and he overruled you by pretending there were no objections.
Well, the Virginia delegation is seated almost up on the stage. We're in the very, very front row, and the Virginia delegation was united in opposition to these rules. And as you probably saw on national television, there was sustained boos and negative comments out there, and it continued and it continued and continued. And then they announced, they introduced to the convention our governor, Bob McDonnell, and the Virginia delegation, of course, had to stop booing about the rules and start cheering Governor McDonnell.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting, Morton Blackwell? None of this was accurately covered on cable TV. It was all treated as some kind of Ron Paul kook revolt. When I've tried to explain, including to some of the anchor people, no, it's not. This is Tea Party. It's the conservative movement. It's constitutionalists. It's the millions of grassroots people speaking through their delegates.
Well, my wife and I have been active in politics since we were in college. We've been married for 40 years, and we've given many contributions to candidates and parties over the years. And she and I together have both made larger contributions personally to the Romney-Ryan ticket than we've ever given to anybody else. This is not a lack of enthusiasm for beating Barack Obama with Mitt Romney. So the interpretation of this as a Ron Paul operation is absolutely not true. There are plenty of people who have been working for decades to have a set of Republican rules which are comprehensible and fair, and which allow, to the extent possible, power to flow from the bottom up rather than from the top down.
Do you think it'll now be more difficult for grassroots activists to have an influence over the Republican nominating process, depending on what the RNC now is empowered to do?
It may well be. Now, you mentioned my Leadership Institute earlier. In addition to training thousands of college people, we have been training ever larger numbers of people who have gray hair or none, or who are middle-aged. Last year, the Leadership Institute trained 11,800 people in 40 different types of training schools, and I have to say it's fun for me to walk up and down the aisles to this national convention and have people every row or two pop up and say hello to me, because they're graduates of my training. What we have to do is increase the number and the effectiveness of conservative activists. We have to teach conservatives that being right in the sense of being correct is not sufficient to win, and that philosophically committed conservatives have a moral obligation to study how to win.
All right, now we're running out of time, but my question is, are these rules, assuming we do those things, going to make it more difficult? They could, correct?
To a certain extent, they will, but it's Katie barred the door. Now that you can change the rules, different factions are going to be struggling between conventions to make rules changes that are favorable to their factions or favorable to a candidate for president in the next election.
Yes, but doesn't an incumbent president have enormous power over the RNC?
Of course. The national chairman of the Republican Party is, quote, recommended by the president and the members of the National Committee.
I need to cut to the chase here. I need to cut to the chase because we're running out of time. So the president has enormous control over the party. He runs the RNC. It's his when he's the president of the United States.
Right.
If power is centralized in the RNC under his appointees, weakens the states, weakens the localities, in other words, weakens the will of the people and the Republican Party. Why would they do this, other than for power's sake? Are they concerned that if a sitting president doesn't do the things that he says he'll do or may not do, they don't want to have an effective challenge? I mean, I can't think, why else do this?
It's a human instinct for people who have power to want to use that power to accumulate more power and certainly keep the power that they have and insulate themselves against any threat of loss of any of that power. That is human nature. But
did Ronald Reagan do this?
Well, Ronald Reagan did not. Ronald Reagan, you were in the Reagan administration. Ronald Reagan's philosophy of advancing people, for example, hiring them in government, was to, and his instructions in the personnel office were hire people who are solidly conservative, and then put them in a place where they can. We know that we will make the right decisions. The other theory of putting together an administration or a political party is to advance people who are prepared to do exactly what they are ordered to do and nothing else. And that doesn't bring you a strong party or an effective principled government, either one.
Well, Morton Blackwell, it's always an honor, my friend. Keep up the good fight there. And I understand we nominated Romney as the Republican nominee for president. I've never seen that happen at 5:30 p.m. on the East Coast and 2:30 p.m. on the West Coast.
Yeah, it's an unusual situation, and in part the schedule got scrambled because of Tropical Storm Isaac, which fortunately did extremely little damage around here, but we didn't know ahead of time where it was going to go, and so we had to essentially not have the Monday of the convention.
All right. I got to run. God bless. You take care. That's Morton Blackwell.